Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Waiters Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And we also go fast.
We sure do.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog. We don't read a whole lot of comics based off video games, do we? Is this the first one?
No, we did fucking...
Like, we haven't done
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah.
What a disaster.
It wasn't that bad.
It was okay.
Could have been worse.
I just, like, didn't understand what was going on, really. But I guess, to be fair, that's kind of the games, too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's never been a coherent story with some of those games.
Yeah, it's just like,
but yeah,
let's make a cool guy.
Wow. And then I totally forgot about that comic.
I was digging in deep for some memories.
It was part of, like, DC, I think, at the time.
Yeah. Shout out to anyone who had us on their Spotify Wrapped, their top five podcasts.
Shout out.
And I know, shout out to Alex. We were his number one podcast.
Ooh.
Tunes in every week.
Shout out, Alex.
I think he even caught up, you know, listened to everything. So pretty sick.
I wasn't on. we weren't on mine.
You weren't? Oh, yeah. You don't listen to it?
To be fair, if Spotify knew that I was recording this, it would know that we were a top podcast, but no, still the Weekly Planet.
Yeah, I think I was like, it was like 4 or 5 on mine.
Dude, the top artist for Sophia is League of Legends.
I saw that. That was insane. I didn't know they were like considered an artist.
She was like, I know. It's so funny because I was like, she was like, did you see your Spotify Wrapped? And I was like, yeah, mine's cooked. I don't like it at all. And she's like, let me show you mine. And then she went to her story. She showed it to me. It said League of Legends. And I'm like, you posted that? And I felt immediately better about my Spotify Wrapped. She's like, I don't even listen to them that much. And I'm like, it's your number one. So it's very funny to me.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Sonic the Hedgehog. We got Back Matter Matters.
That's so funny to say.
In the full list. But we start with the news. Do you have any news?
Not much, dude, but I do have some.
Did you see that video I sent you of Marvel Rivals? It's like a trailer for the game.
Yeah.
Did you know about that?
Yeah. I was in the beta.
What do you mean? Oh, like you played it?
Yeah, I played the beta.
Is it cool?
It's pretty cool. It's Overwatch.
Are you supposed to be telling me? Did you sign an NDA?
No.
Okay.
There's an open beta. It's cool, though. The art direction looks really good. It's basically just Overwatch, but Marvel. But I was a big fan of Overwatch. Marvel's okay, you know? So... Mm-hmm. I like the cast of characters on there. It's pretty cool. And they obviously got a lot to pull from, but they got some like weird ones like Squirrel Girl on there. And they got Lin Lei Iron Fist, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Even though he's only had 6 issues.
Everyone thought it was like Shang-Chi.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, they got some weird ones, you know. They got like Magneto. I like the design choice of it as well. But it's out now if you're listening to this, but it comes out December 6th.
I don't like...
For free.
I don't like the Captain America... I like the Wolverine.
I don't like... Wolverine just wearing a jacket.
Kind of like it.
There's a classic suit Wolverine that looks good. Spider-Man movement is really good. You're swinging around and shit. It's pretty cool.
Hawkeye's too bulky. They just make everyone really bulky.
Everyone's very bulky. Hulk looks pretty cool. Yeah, I think it looks good.
For sure. Yeah, I like saw that. I'm like, when's that come out?
It'll be a free game. We could play it.
Like, a free together. Game?
Yeah, it's free.
You got to get a next-gen console, don't you?
I got my PC. It's probably cross-platform.
Oh, okay. We'll figure out how that works.
We can play games together. Look at us.
So it's like a first-person thing? Like
over-the-shoulder hero battler is what it's called. So
okay. So not a shooter, necessarily.
It's kind of. I mean, depending on the character you play, like Black Widow is a sniper, and that becomes the first person when you...
Squirrel Girl about to be strapped, dude?
No, Black Widow is a sniper.
I know, but like...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the Squirrel Girl abilities were. Yeah. I think she was a... Oh, like... I think she's one of the more recently announced ones. Like Psylocke is in there too, but
right.
So yeah, some of them shoot. Some of them you're just like Spider-Man swinging around shooting webs, or Iron Fist just punches people. I think so. Depends on your playstyle. But I don't know if you've ever played Overwatch, or it's basically like one of the game modes is it's like 6v6, and there's like a truck in the middle. And if you're like king of the hill, essentially for like that zone around the truck moves to one end, and it's kind of like
tug of war kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a tug of war type thing.
I played Overwatch once.
It's fun. Parker used to be like top 500 in the United States.
Is it going to be like that kind of thing where there's like starter characters where, like, you know how, like, in Overwatch, you start out with, like, some people, and then you get better, and then kind of move to different other people?
There will be characters with, like lower skill ceilings, I think, where okay. It's, like, you can still contribute to a team, but you're not, there's not a whole lot of, like, skill expression. Like, Spider-Man, you'll be swinging around and doing, like, creative plays or whatever, but I think if you're just, like, Hawkeye, just, like, whoever's in front of you, you know, shoot them.
Okay.
So, I think...
But, like, you can... Because, like, in Overwatch... I was playing it with somebody and they were telling me like there's like these two characters or whatever that you people like start with.
Yeah.
To just kind of get used to it, I guess.
Yeah. Like Soldier 76 probably is just the guy with the gun.
Yeah.
And he has an ult where like the gun aims for you, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think there's probably going to be characters like that.
So it's not necessarily just like killing the other team.
That's a part of it. But there's also another, it's not like a team deathmatch. There's like another objective.
Yeah.
Typically.
Okay.
So it looks fun.
For sure.
I'll give it a shot. Let you know if I like it. The good thing that I think they are doing with that is every character will be free. You can get like skins and stuff for them. And there's a battle pass. But the battle pass, if you buy it, it doesn't expire. So like if you just buy it and you just play the game, you'll get all of the rewards in that battle pass until you're complete with it. Whereas in like Fortnite, you buy the or like Valorant.
Like a season pass kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like a season pass, but you only have a certain amount of time to put in the hours to get those rewards until that thing expires. So I think they're doing a pretty good job with it.
So it's like a prestige almost kind of pass?
Yeah, kind of.
So you just kind of do it.
Except
you
there's no expiration date on getting some of those rewards.
But they'll probably come out with new ones.
Yeah, they'll come out with new ones, and then you could buy those too.
So. I like that.
Yeah.
That's how Rocket League should be.
That's how it should be.
Because I would play for like 4 hours, be like, I love this game. I'm buying that pass or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I don't play it for the rest of the season.
And then it expires, and you can't get the cool wheels or the cool goal explosion.
$5 for nothing?
Yeah, exactly. So I like the approach. Daniel, Superman and Lois has ended, and that ends DC shows on the CW.
It has ended?
Yeah, all of there are no more DC shows on the CW Superman and Lois after Superman and Lois ended.
Yeah.
Quiz for you. Can you name all the CW DC shows?
So start off with Arrow, of course. Yep. Then it moved on to The Flash.
Yep.
And then there's, of course, Legends of Tomorrow.
Of course.
And then they had Black Lightning.
They did have Black Lightning, yep.
Mm-hmm. And then... There's fucking Stargirl.
Oh, okay. Nice. I didn't think you'd get that one.
Yeah. Stargirl was a thing. There's Superman and Lois.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Oh, Supergirl was a thing, wasn't
Supergirl,
it?
Supergirl, yeah.
Yeah.
There's three more.
No way. There's three more?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Isn't that crazy? I think most of these only went for a season. Actually, one of this went for two. They just recasted. That's a hint. Two of these you just won't get. I feel like
I just won't get. Okay.
I just don't think you'll remember them, but you know they exist. But one of them.
Now that you ask, I'm like nervous. I said Flash already.
You said Flash. That was like a
fuck.
Did I say Arrow?
I'm just trying to think of like the crossover shit I remember.
One of them starts with a B and is a woman.
What?
Starts with a B, ends in woman. Batwoman.
Oh, is that technically? Okay.
That was a CW show.
All right.
And then remember. The other two are Naomi.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Gotham Knights.
That was CW. Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy? They had all those shows. Because, like, I just have this picture of all the shows, like, posters of all the shows. And I'm like, jeez. God damn, that's a lot of show.
We should do, like, a rewatch podcast.
Oh, my God. Dude, I've seen how downhill The Flash got. Like, just people arguing or, like, ranting
dude,
about
after
it.
After the Flashpoint episodes in season two, that shit's borderline unwatchable.
It is, dude. It's bad. But, yeah, I'm done.
We'll do it for, like, Patreon stuff.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. So, yeah, end of an era. Started cool, kind of. Ended very not cool.
I remember loving Arrow.
But it was super in Arrow.
It was repetitive. And then Flash, I thought the first season of Flash was, like, fucking incredible.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Like, oh my God.
He ran fast.
You'd see like fucking his ads on the buses and shit. Yeah. Like that's correct.
I'm like, run, Barry, run.
On the light rail.
Yeah. So that's crazy. But that ended.
Then like at Zoom as like the bad guy. I'm like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Like more speedsters, dude.
And then I heard they were doing Godspeed and I'm like the guy from Rebirth.
That was pretty cool. Godspeed's awesome.
How do you know?
I read the Rebirth Flash.
Got it.
Like for... maybe 10 issues.
Nice.
Anyway, so you just said that your news was that it's that was over, and you just wanted to quiz over. Me? Okay, okay.
And then, yeah, I also wanted to quiz you. That'd be fun.
Nathan, 10,000 Ink Stains is a comic memoir.
Ooh.
Coming about Jeff Lemire's career.
Cool.
Yes, going to be coming out July 2025.
What does that mean, a memoir? Like, is it a comic?
It's like a comic memoir. It's like a, well, not like a comic, but like, it's probably like mostly a memoir, but there's going to be visual. It's like an art book.
Okay, cool.
But with like stories and shit.
And is he doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sweet. That sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's coming out through Dark Horse.
Uh-huh.
His little quiz for you. How long do you think, like how many years do you think Jeff Lemire has been in the comic industry?
In the comic industry?
Yes.
I guess starting with like that one, a kid in Canada and I'm a superhero. What was that one called?
Essex County.
Yeah, starting with that, right? Isn't that his first thing?
I don't know.
That would have been like 2004.
Is it?
I think. I don't know.
So you think 20 years?
Yeah, maybe a little more, actually.
He started out with indie comics? I guess that's right.
Why? It sounded like you had the answer to this.
I do, yeah.
Oh, okay. What's the answer?
25 years, Nathan, he's been in the comics industry.
That's crazy.
You were pretty close. I would have guessed like, I was like, when was New 52? Because that's like the earliest I've known of him.
I think, I could be wrong about Essex County. It might have been like his own like self-published thing, or his first like self-published thing.
Yeah.
But I know like Underwater Welder, which we should absolutely do for the show, was like another early one of his, so.
I feel like that wasn't that new. Like that was like within our comics reading.
No. No, I think it was already a trade by the time I started reading comics.
Was it like an individual issue thing, or is it like a...
I think it was a graphic novel.
Right.
It probably came out like 2013. Now that I think about it.
2012.
Ooh, okay.
So 2008 was Essex County.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the... So the collection came out in 2011.
Of Welder?
Essex.
Or Essex, okay. Got it.
But like the individual short stories came out in like 2008.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I read that cool. once actually.
I wonder, do you know how much the memoir thing is going to be?
I can look it up if you want. I'd be
interested. No, it's fine.
$50.
Damn.
That's crazy.
That's a bit steep.
It must be fucking big, dude. It doesn't have a page count or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. I feel like that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. Memoirs, no, I mean, that, I think... Having an overall look at his career would be very interesting because he's done a lot. Like,
yeah, he calls it an illustrated memoir.
That's cool. Good for him. Dino, do you think Absolute Batman sold 400,000 copies, but it's not the year's biggest seller? Did you know that?
I thought it was.
No.
I thought like definitely.
Well, so far right now, it's at 400,000 copies, which is insane. Normally, if you get 300,000, you're like, you're the best of all time to do it.
Yeah.
But TMNT number one sold 450,000 copies.
I thought that was like 200,000.
Not according to...
Is that including reprints and stuff?
Cool. I don't know. Probably. Okay. Across printings, yeah.
Okay. So the first printing, I think, like, was around 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I think TMNT's had like four, if not more, printings.
Yeah. And then Ultimate Spider-Man is also outselling it, but they don't say the number. So I don't know why. Ultimate Spider-Man number one.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which has had more printings, to be fair, because it's been out since like March or something, but...
For like everything that I consume, I want to know how successful it is to get a gauge as to like if it's like worth my attention almost.
Like, yeah, when I wish there were better metrics.
Like, you ever like whenever I'm like looking for podcasts or something, I would need to know like how many people are actually like listening to this.
Yeah.
You know, you'll just see the ratings on Spotify or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, like when you're on YouTube and you're looking for something, or if you're trying to find out something,
yeah,
you go to the one with the most views.
Yeah,
it's like that's probably the most reputable.
This one has an M next to the view count, so it's probably good.
Right, right. Yeah. And then like I watch a movie I like, I'm like, how much did this make? You know, and shit like that. So it's just kind of annoying that with like,
but it's all arbitrary.
Shit on Netflix, like you can't really find out how well it's doing. Or comics, you know.
You can see a general rating, but there's not a whole lot of information there, you know.
Right.
And they probably fix that. Shit, if I was them, so
probably. Nathan,
what you got?
Dust to Dust is a new comic coming from Image, I think. Image, yes. It is a book by J.G. Jones and Phil Brahm.
Okay.
And is a Great Depression set story about a serial killer.
Oh, Great Depression serial killer.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it comes out December 26th. So right around the corner from when this episode comes out. And that's the picture thing. Ooh, that's on there.
That looks pretty cool.
I'm like, that looks pretty cool to me.
I like that design.
I assume J.G. Jones is doing the art because he normally does.
That's normally art. What he does, yeah.
But his name was first, maybe because he's the...
Because he's the goat?
Yeah, is he like the selling point? Yeah, Bryderfield Brahm. And this is a cool cover.
Yeah, that looks great. That
looks like it could have came out like 10 years ago.
Wait, sorry, so is he writing or doing the art?
He's art.
Okay, nice.
But his name is first.
Yeah, because he's the goat.
Because it's a very art-forward book, I'm sure.
I mean, remember when DC was doing that for a bit? They were putting the artist first?
Yeah, for like Rebirth.
It was like... Did they do that for Rebirth?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good for them.
I think.
That's how it should be. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I think you should randomize it every time.
Yeah, it might be the letterer first.
Yeah, it could be letterer first. Could be colorist.
The editor.
You know? If I saw Matt Wilson, you know, it was like the first name, I'd be like, I'm buying that book.
They got a point.
Yeah. So let's get into the book that we read this week.
Let's get into the literature that we read.
Absolute pristine prose that we read this week.
Yes.
Sonic the Hedgehog. And the trade is called something like
Fallout.
Fallout. Good show. Good game. It is by Ian Flynn on story and the art. Each issue done by somebody else. Or a different person each time. Tracy Yardley, Adam Bryce Thomas, Jennifer Hernandez, and Evan Stanley. With colors done by a bunch of different people every time. Matt Herms, Adam Bryce Thomas, Heather Breckel.
So Adam Bryce Thomas did art and colors.
Oh, good for him. What do you think?
Jim Amash and Bob Smith on inks.
Yes.
I thought this was a lot better than I thought
it
would be.
It's obviously way better than it should be, right?
Yeah, I was like...
I mean, I know this book's like on 70 issues or something, but something about this works.
Yeah, I was like, it knows that it's a comic and it does that well.
Yeah.
Like, it's like not just like comic fanboys, or it's not just Sonic fanboys, it's like comic...
Yeah,
people, they utilize, like, making this.
They utilize the space on the page really well, it seems like. And it just seems like these people just love Sonic.
Yeah.
Sonic has one of the most, like, strangely passionate fan bases, I feel like. Just, like, me observing.
I don't know about more than, like, My Little Pony or something like that.
It's like, it seems like that level.
Who also has, like, a lot of comics.
Well, yeah, but it seems like it's about that level to me, which is kind of absurd, because I like the games, you know, but I've never really been like super passionate about it.
Yeah.
But like after reading this, I'm like, I kind of get it, you know?
Yeah.
this is cool.
I really know very little about.
I also realized that reading
the franchise.
This,
yeah. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Yeah. Is that someone who's been around?
I'm like, is this a comics person? I'm like, what the hell is a Wisp? You know, there's like all these things. That
yeah.
Happening.
There's a bit of lore. I'm like, is this comics lore, or games lore, or what?
You know, I'm surprised that he didn't do one loop de loop or lose any coins, you know, or rings. I should say.
Didn't lose any change.
Yeah, but he's beating up some fucking robots the entire time. It's like the book is set post war. which is crazy.
Like, whoa.
There's a giant war. They're talking about like...
This is number one. What did I miss?
I know. I'm like, holy shit.
Maybe there's like a war that this is post.
Yeah.
Like every piece of Sonic media, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's post-war.
Speaking of Sonic media, let me show you my favorite Sonic media, which is on TikTok. It's a meme that I thought is just really funny every time I see it. And it's someone making the video game Sonic just say random things,
just voicing over him.
No, whatever. Not even. He's like making the actual like voice of Sonic in the games like say stuff. So here, I'll start with this one.
What's the smell? What the hell? Oh my god! No way! What's the smell?
And then,
hey, there's no time to rest.
And it's just like the Sonic character just like saying these random things.
Man, everything's frozen.
And every time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? And it's my favorite thing I've ever seen from Sonic. So yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's a character that can be in any medium.
Yeah, definitely.
Including shitposting. Anyway, this book.
This book.
Pretty fucking good.
I think I'm a furry now.
Dude, I kind of get it. No, but like, he looks so...
I'm like, there it is.
I understand. One of these hedgehogs or whatever has like heels, and the heels are like jetpacks, and she's flying in the air. I'm like, this is a cool fucking woman.
In my head, I thought just all like Tails, Knuckles, and him, I thought they were all fast. But apparently that's only his shtick.
Well, like Tails can spin really fast.
Yeah, but he's not like a fast person.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they all had different superpowers.
Also, they're all different animals.
Yeah.
Knuckles is an echidna, whatever the fuck that is.
I don't even know.
One of them's a lemur.
What that was. I looked that up.
What is it? I don't know.
It
sounds like some Australian thing.
I can look it up.
You said you already looked it up.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't save the bookmark.
Okay. I'm looking
it up. I just looked it up. I'm like, that's weird.
That's just a hedgehog or... What the fuck is that?
Like a porcupine kind of thing?
Oh, it is from Australia and New Guinea.
Nah.
Oh.
It's just so strange that you look at these animals and then get that.
Yeah, I know. I was like that is not what a hedgehog looks like, you know?
No shit.
But yeah, I think part of what creates a lot of Sonic success is just how malleable the character design is. Like you get a lot of emotion out of this weird ass design. But it can like look cool. He can look like kind of silly. He can look, you know, disappointed or scared. Or I was like kind of fascinated at how much he's able to like emote different emotions in this. So
I think it helps when you have like eyeballs that are like connected. Kind of like Oakley glasses.
Who did that?
You know? I don't know.
Who decided that for this character design?
I don't know. Like, oh yeah, we don't need to separate those. That's fine.
Do you remember when the first movie trailer came out?
Yes, dude.
Yeah. I love that.
I can't forget it.
It's very disturbing. Now they're on their third movie with Keanu Reeves' Shadow. So
they got pole.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to bring this up for the poll list, but I like started Sonic 2. And
did you see one?
Yeah. I saw one when my nephew's in town.
Okay.
And that's like, he loves that shit.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that.
It was like time for me to go to bed. I had like work, you know? I'm like, I can't watch the second one. So I like started it and I was like a little too zooted and I fell asleep.
Okay.
But Idris Elba like fucking bodies Knuckles.
Oh yeah.
He's so good.
He's a good pick.
I was terrified. I'm like, he's so scary in this. He's perfect.
Really?
My head, I just know his like British accent, you know, but when he puts on like the American and like fits Knuckles, it like works so well.
Yeah. Like a lot of the voices really deviate from like interpretations of these characters that we've seen in the past, like either from the video game or like remember the show? Didn't we like watch the show a little bit?
I'd have to see a clip or something.
Yeah, we used to like watch the show, I think, and like they're all just like, I don't know, really like nasally or like something, and then like the voices in the movie, like they're completely different, but for some reason they fit. So
I just like how they have the money to get these like names.
I know, it's pretty absurd.
Their voice act, it's really funny to me.
So anyway, let's get started. Issue one, Sonic has won the war against Dr. Eggman, but he's kind of still running around different cities fighting the leftover robot forces called the Badniks, I think. And he fights off some Badnik robots in a town and saves the locals. And he comes across a super Badnik and it's got a big hammer. And so he has to like try and fight that. And right as one is about to hit him with the hammer, Sonic is saved by Tails, who shows up. And I think it's really interesting to have like an Empire Strikes Back approach to this, because it's like post-war.
Yeah.
And the robots are like, I don't know what to do, you know, but we'll still, I don't know, kill people. But the action's really good. Like the whole book is pretty much just like kind of nonstop action, I feel like. But I was kind of surprised at how well they're able to do speedster action, you know?
Yeah, I think it'd take like some getting used to if you're used to just like the movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was cool. I love how this artist like portrays like his feet moving really fast.
Oh, I love that.
It's just like a circle.
Just a circle. Or sometimes it's like a figure eight.
Yeah.
When you see it from the side and I'm like, how does that even work? But like, it's so genius. Cool. Or like sometimes he's moving so fast, he's like breaking the sound barrier behind him. And I'm like, that is such a cool like visual technique that they're doing. So
the mech designs are really cool in this. Like on the first page.
Yeah, they're very, I don't know, bubbly.
I was like, what the hell are those?
Yeah. I'd be scared as fuck if I saw that.
Yeah, they look like Digimon bosses or something.
Yeah. So Tails and Sonic work together to take out the super Badnik robots. And they just like link arms or something and spin really fast together.
Yeah, what the fuck is
How does that even work, you know?
Like they're both spinning and then...
Are they both spinning in the... No, but they're spinning like on top of each other, not like side by side.
Are they making each other spin?
I think it's like, I don't know.
And they started out holding hands.
Yeah, like, so like how are you on top of each other and still spinning?
Yeah.
Also, how does Tails spin his tails? Is that shit getting winded up?
Yeah, like or, like rotates really fast.
Or do they have like, well, like how? How do they not get like winded up into just like a, like tangled, you know?
His the base of his tails have like connected. A ball bearing.
Whoa. That's, I mean, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, Fast Hedgehog doesn't make sense. That's blue. He's got a fucking...
What are you saying to me right now?
They're all blue and fast.
Yeah. Yeah, true. So they take out the super badnik robots, and they're kind of able to take out the rest of the badnik robots before they try and retreat. So the whole town is saved. Tails is worried that something is making the badnik army more cohesive and organized, but it's probably not Eggman because he's always like so vocal when he does his like evil doing. So someone else is behind the scenes organizing them, seemingly. So Sonic leaves to find more robots to kill, and then Tails strays, or he like stays back to help rebuild the city. And then we see some mysterious man in a lab tracking Sonic through a badnik robot.
Uh-oh.
Who
could it be?
He's sitting in an Eggman chair, but we don't see the man, so I don't know who it
Who's
is.
Who's sitting in Eggman's chair?
Dude, imagine having a chair with like your face on the back of it. Like a symbol of your
That's
face.
That's a pretty cool logo, though.
It is a good logo. I never noticed how Sonic has five fingers, and that is kind of strange to me.
Oh, come on. Why'd you point that out to me?
Like, some of these panels, like, I'm like, that's a lot of fingers. Like, look at this.
He seems like he should only have, like, two.
Like, yeah, two or three fingers, like, at most, so.
Like, even the robots only have three fingers and a thumb.
I know. Or, like, Tails, I don't think has, oh, no, he has five fingers as well. Damn. And it's like, you'd think, or maybe that's why his hands are so big, you know, because, like, you have to fit fucking drawing four fingers in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting.
I like how, like, they're acknowledging, like, the damage that was done after, you know, this battle.
Yeah, this huge war.
And Tails is, like, contributing to, like, he's the like, restoration
Yeah, he's
the
like, these
city.
Guys need help. This yeah. is a real hero. This fucking Tails.
And then, like, architecture and, like, the city planning of, like, this world seems just very Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, they have, like...
Dude, you're so right.
They have, like, a latch bridge and shit. Yeah. And a drop bridge. And, like, there's just mountains and fields in between these cities. You just kind of wander around and find them.
The last one's definitely King's Landing.
I'm like, I need, like, a map or something.
Yeah. Dude, can you imagine a whole Game of Thrones map, but just, like, random Sonic territories?
Yeah.
What's the fucking winter one called?
Winterfell.
That's probably like what this one is. They, like, they each have their own like big wall like around them.
Yeah, I'm like, what are they keeping out? You know, like why is it
robots?
Why is it open concept? Yeah, I guess so.
So
it's low key like Attack on Titan too,
dude. Yeah, you're right, dude. They're just kind of ripping a bunch of stuff, I think.
Yeah, everyone that does art in this is so good
they're
at drawing Sonic.
So fucking good.
I like couldn't pick a favorite because I liked them all.
I think
for different reasons.
I do too. I think I like this first guy the best.
But if you didn't tell me that there were different artists, I don't know if I'd really be able to pick out differences. Like I thought maybe the first three would be the same guy.
Yeah.
And the last one's like a little different. But
they're all like very close, but are like really good at representing like action and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very fun. I think the coloring is mainly like the biggest thing that I noticed changes, but art style of like the individual line work, very strong.
I think the colors, like the colored panels, you know, like the not the background of like what's in the panels, but the panels themselves.
Yeah.
And the borders, that's all, they mostly have color. And I feel like that's something that you'd only see in like one of these
like with the
early
the actual
kids
borders
comics
of the panels.
Kind of yeah.
Yeah, but it's very fun. I don't like,
yeah,
we should do that more.
Yeah, I'm like, why not? You have the page, might as well use it.
Yeah. So then issue two, Sonic fights another badnik robot. This one's a big crab robot, and that's kind of just near another town. And he almost gets snuck up on from the big crab robot when he's like gloating to the locals.
This is like the most anime artist, I think.
I think so. Because
like when he's smashing into like the big crab robot thing, it's like action just very representative.
Huge
that.
Boom. Or like seeing the sound barrier break here, super cool.
Yeah.
Or even just seeing like the way that he's running on the water and how the water's like interacting with his like running on the thing is really cool.
Like no comic reader can read this and say it's like bad or anything.
It's
really cool.
There's really cool perspective like shots and like the design. I don't know if like these are regular Badnik robot designs, but this crab one is fucking cool, you know?
Yeah. Like it's so easy for comics that are based off of franchises to just be kind of
like shitty,
cheesy and just kind of, you know, phoned in.
Yeah.
But this is like it just coming from a place of passion and professionalism. Definitely. You know?
Yeah. And like understanding what makes the original concept of it work, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because everything, like all the designs are very fun. They all feel very like Sega, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's cool. But anyway, the crab robot is about to sneak up on Sonic when he's like gloating to the locals, and then Amy jumps in to save him. She like smashes the robot. She's got a big croquet hammer, I guess.
Yeah.
And Amy says that she came specifically.
It seems like it looks like it would squeak if it smashed something.
Yeah, it does look like that. Amy says that she came specifically to find Sonic and recruit him back into the resistance to finish the fight.
A resistance?
There's a whole resistance.
That means they're fighting against like patriarchy or something.
Yeah, Dr. Eggman's fucking.
Or a monarch?
Yeah, Dr. Eggman's basically Darth Vader. And Sonic is Luke because he's blue. He's got the blue lightsaber.
They're sick of the Republic or some shit.
And so Sonic denies, explaining that he wants to find out who's behind all the robot attacks rather than like help the towns defend from robot attacks. So he's
is
like,
Amy a hedgehog?
No. You know, I was actually looking to see what wisps were in like the Sonic Wiki. And I saw that there was this comic in there, and there's a synopsis for like one of the issues that I looked at, literally like 14 paragraphs long. I'm like, there's
an issue.
Nothing of one issue.
Wow.
And I'm like, nothing even happens. Like, I mean, it's like they do cool.
They fight a thing and they're like, there's a problem. I'm here. Like,
there must be so much more context that we're missing. But I don't really know what Amy is. I don't think she's a hedgehog though.
There's probably so many Easter eggs we're just missing.
I know. People are probably like, they don't even fucking know. But I don't know, I'm having fun.
Amy is like the most boring name in this book.
Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, what was the other one? Tangle? Something.
Tangle, Blaze. Yeah. Blaze, dude.
There's some fucking Blaze lore that they just like drop on you, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Amy Rose.
What is she?
I don't fucking know, dude. It's not very clear. I guess I'm the only person who's... Oh, what animals are all these Sonic characters? Okay.
She's a pink hedgehog.
Dude, fucking... All right, whatever.
What? Sorry, I can
Tails
fucking look
is a two-tailed
faster.
Fox.
Okay.
Multiple-tailed foxes are common in Japanese culture.
Really? I didn't know that.
I guess so, yeah. Blaze is a cat.
Yes, I did know that.
You knew that?
Yeah, they said it.
They did?
They say Tangle is a lemur.
I thought she was like a fox or something.
They all look like fucking Sonic.
Tangle said, yeah, I know. So it's like hard.
It's like, this is a fox.
Every time there's a new character, I'm like, what are they?
Yeah, I know. There's one that's a skunk and you don't realize until they fucking
no,
they
that
skunk
one
everywhere.
Definitely look like a Sonic.
I didn't realize.
The other one was like a wolf?
I don't know. It looks like a fucking hedgehog.
Metal Sonic is a robot.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
they both hear about like chicken robots that are raiding the city on like the other side. And so Amy gathers all the locals to a defense point while Sonic thins out the forces. And there's a few that like slip past them, but by that time the locals are able to like kind of clean up the rest sitting in their like little defense spot. And then Amy and Sonic hold hands and they crush just a bunch more robots. They're just kind of spinning through all of them. And they're just like arguing about Sonic joining the resistance through all that. But yeah.
I was reading this and a part of me was like reading it through like the lens of like the age range that this is for. It said 7 to 10 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And Amy has like a battle plan.
Yeah. There's like so much.
And I'm like, does a 10-year-old care about like protecting the citizens?
There's a
line
where she's like, this is a good defensible position and the militia is placed well.
It's like, go door to door and bring back no more than 10 people at a time. Keep low and check your corners. I'm like, what?
She's like, we need to thin their advances or we'll be overrun. And I'm like, damn, Amy.
This is military shit. Yeah.
I don't know. Amy got it like that. But I appreciate that. But yeah, it is weird for like a kid's comic. Like this is just a war comic.
Basically,
like I don't think we've even read like a genuine war comic. This is the closest thing that we've
done. I love war comics.
I love them too. But
we should read. I mean, we get Fury when that comes out in trade.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's fun.
But yeah, this one just has way more like war strategy, tactics, and stuff that like, and then it's just very surprising.
Oh, we could do like a war comic month.
I'm down for that. Because there's like a couple big ones that we've like missed for sure. Because we could do like a the Get Fury, and then we could do Sergeant Rock, and then just two indie ones.
Trade comes out New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah,
that's perfect. Pretty soon. So then Amy
had a list of war comics.
They see an enemy dropship come, and so Amy hammers a spinning Sonic into the dropship, which explodes like the damn Hindenburg. And then Sonic leaves to the next town. Amy stays to like do resistance stuff, and the mysterious man is still tracking Sonic. Who's that man? But I think it's cool that they had a move where Sonic's like spinning in place on the ground, and then Amy just kind of like golf hits him into a fucking blimp thing.
Yeah, it's like their own like
it's like their own fastball
special. Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. Very fun.
Just looking at like I think I was just reading it panel to panel, but just looking at the full pages, I'm like, this comic rules.
Yeah, there's like there's so many fun like page compositions and stuff. And a lot of them like layer over each other during the action, which is cool.
Like if they keep up this quality, like it totally deserves to be like 70 issues.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah. So then issue 3, Sonic finds Knuckles outside of some town, and he's addressing him as Nux when he goes to like talk to him. He's like, "What's up, Nux?" Which sounds like a slur or something. I don't know.
One time I went to like Snow Bowl, and there was like the people working there, you know, working like the lift or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's like some little kid, probably like his first time snowboarding, and then like the worker there is like, "Give me Nux."
Like, don't give me any Nux.
And he gave him Nux. I'm like, I thought that was kind of cool.
It just sounds bad. All right, bro, give me some of your Nux.
Yeah. Do you know Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery?
No.
So they're like a running back duo for the Detroit Lions currently. And this is like, this is the most like recent example that there's basically like a duo of running backs that both do really well, like 1,000-yard seasons and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
And they call each other
Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic and Knuckles. Mm. And they had like special cleats that are like the same shoes that they have, that the same shoes that like Knuckles and Sonic have.
Oh, really? Like a red, white, and red one? Or like a red with like white strap or whatever?
Yeah, look at that. You can like zoom in. Because like,
wait, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, Knuckles looks like he has like a Lego piece on his, which I was confused by when I saw it, but then
he has it too.
Jahmyr Gibbs has like the little like belt strap looking thing.
Yeah, that's sick.
And so I'm like, that's fun.
I like that their frame of reference for this photo is the movie ones.
Yeah, they should have the comics.
Yeah, I know, they're missing out. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Good for them.
Yeah, it was. It seemed a little cringe, but then they got serious about it, you know.
But then I read this comic.
Right. But so that then doesn't make sense, because Knuckles doesn't have like speed powers, you know. He's just like,
I mean, I think they both run fast, don't they? No, yeah, he kind of does. He climbs Sonic fast.
Runs up a wall, and then Knuckles just punches the wall, but climbs
they,
it.
But they land at the same time.
I don't think that means that he's as fast as him.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure if they were do like a foot race, Sonic would win.
Did we have a Sonic game?
Yes.
On like PS2 or something?
Yeah. It was like you jump around a forest or something.
Something like that. Was it like a third person kind of thing, or was it like a side scroller?
Third person.
Yeah. I remember like speeding up and then aiming at shit.
Have you heard of that punk song that's in one of the Sonic games?
The punk song in a Sonic game.
Is like running around at the speed of sound, something like that.
No, it sounds fire though.
I gotta look it up. There's so much good Sonic, I'm realizing. I think I'm a fan now.
Should we see Sonic 3, dude?
Dude, I need to see the first.
I'm fucking in.
Yeah, the bass line, are you kidding me? Most people know like that intro part, you know,
but yeah, that sounds familiar.
Kind of ska-ish, almost.
Very anime theme.
Yeah, man, good shit.
Is Sega like a Japanese company?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Okay, so they run over the wall into the town, and they find out that the town is being held hostage by Rough and Tumble, which are two villains, and they're threatening the town and the wisps that are there. Rough and Tumble is such a sick name to have with your boy.
That's like Did they give themselves those names? Were they born together?
Is Tumble his God-given name?
It's crazy that like you are just running around the world with like your name is Ruff.
Yeah.
And then just one day you meet you meet a man named Tumble.
Or do you think they were boys and they became Ruff and Tumble?
Yeah.
Like that's so sick to have like such a dedicated duo, you know?
It's kind of cool that they refer to them, but just have them in silhouette so we don't see their design.
Yeah, that was
until,
cool. There's like this big reveal.
Until it's them, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Can you imagine if we had a duo name? We're like macaroni and this is cheese. You know, something like that. Okay, so one of them, either Ruff or Tumble, is a skunk. And like, you know, looking at them now, that's pretty clear. But, you know, they fight them. And I didn't realize that it was a skunk until one of them like skunks all over Nux.
Yeah, he just farts on him.
And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, he's probably a skunk. But it's kind of funny, like out of context.
They look way scarier with like their eyes being like red and yellow.
Yeah, the yellow eyes. It's
like, good that man's design. Feral.
Yeah. You know? And then like,
we get kind of like an exposition dump on like wisps in like what they are.
They're probably
I guess,
part of the game and you can
like, oh, we freed them once or something.
They're like part of the war, but so like they fight. Knuckles gets skunked on and then Sonic convinces the wisps inside of the weapons of Ruff and Tumble to leave.
The wispins.
And then, yeah, the wispins. If there's a wisp inside of a thing, it's a wispin, like a weapon. But with a wispin.
And certain wisps go to different wispins.
And some of them are like, some of them look like the aliens from Chicken Little, and then some of them are just like squares, you know? But like, so then all the wisps gang up on Ruff and Tumble, and then Ruff and Tumble are like arrested. But like, I guess if they're inside of a certain thing, they could be used in a way to be a weapon.
But so if they're not in there, it's useless.
I guess not.
Like the weapons are useless.
I think they're like aliens that have powers, but that's like the best that I can do, you know, to like explain what they are.
Yeah.
So Ruff and Tumble are arrested. The town has a party, which is pretty sick. And then the mysterious man is still tracking, you know, Sonic. And he's like, he's, you know, right where I want him. And I feel like it's not much of a cliffhanger if you do this like every single issue. It's like, okay, he's still watching, you know.
Yeah, it's like just like a little tease. Like,
yeah,
we had a lot of teases of Thanos before we got Thanos, you know.
That's fair. Yeah, so that's pretty much that issue. Pretty simple.
Big disrespect move done on Sonic when he's like spinning around coming at the wolf guy.
Ruff or Tumble,
I'm not sure. He takes Sonic in his like ball mode and does a crossover with him.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he does.
Yeah, you're just a ball, and then he shoots something as if there's a basket there.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, damn, he's kind of got handles.
Bruno's ball.
Yeah. It is funny that he throws him at the wall, but like as if he's shooting a free throw. Like, yeah. You could have just like thrown it like a football.
It
like,
should have just been a net there.
That would have been funny. Or like if he throws him into a trash can or something, that would have been good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Sonic does just kind of bounce off of the pillar and then just go straight back into him.
Right. So anyway.
So then issue 4, Sonic runs to a town that is in the middle of like a destructive battle with the Badniks. When Sonic gets there, he finds Tangle, who's like a lemur that uses her tail to fight. And it can grow like super long or extend super long. And she like grabs shit and is like helping defend the town with Sonic. And so they start working together. They're fighting off some big robots. And then Blaze shows up, who's a cat apparently. And she's got heels.
Those
are the things I noticed.
At this point, I'm like, a lot of these characters just look like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like late-gen Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of true. I feel like in this issue, some of the action felt a little less coherent, but I think they're trying to fit a lot, like pretty much the same amount of action, but in like more limited amount of panels.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're trying to fit a lot of action on one panel, like that's supposed to be taking place over time.
Like, it's like the big action shot, and then maybe sometimes I'll have, like, a setup shot.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But most of the time, we're just kind of in the middle of action. It's like, okay, how did we get here? So it's a little less coherent. But what I do like about this is when there's, like, pages with explosions, the coloring becomes, like, a lot more simplistic, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it kind of emphasizes the, like, explosion. So I really like that.
Yeah, like, there's, like, not even, like, lines.
Yeah.
They just use, like, just color, and I think that looks really cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. So now all three of them are there and they go fight some robots. They realize that there's too many. And so they're like, there's a drop ship that we can, you know, try and take down. So they use Lemur's tail, and she slingshots both Sonic and Blaze up to the drop ship for the Badniks. And
so she like throws Sonic, and he's like slightly on fire. Yeah. I guess the fire doesn't affect him.
I mean, he spins real fast.
And she throws him onto the ship.
Yes.
And then just blasts the fuck out of the ship.
Like, he's still in there.
I'm like, why'd you throw him in there if you're just going to blast it?
He's like, okay, I'll throw you in there. Like, imagine hearing that plan.
Did he just kill Sonic?
Like, okay, I'll throw you in there. You know, you blend it up from the inside, and then I'll shoot the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want that plan. I like that the drop ships are, like, animal-themed in this. That's kind of fun. Like, this one looks like a big wasp or, like, a bee or something.
Yeah, blue bee.
And then the last one was, like, a pufferfish or something. I thought that's kind of fun. So, yeah, they take it down. Sonic destroys shit from the outside. Blaze hits it with fire blasts until it's down.
It's like a fire Kamehameha wave.
Yeah. And then Sonic introduces Blaze to Tangle, which, like, is such a wild introduction. Because the introduction for Blaze is she's a princess from another dimension and guardian of the Soul Emeralds, which are like Chaos Emeralds, but fiery.
So there's a multiverse established. There's a
multiverse that we just found out about. There's fucking Infinity Stones, I guess. And like, this is when I realized there could be 100 Sonic movies. And yeah. Like, we wouldn't even be close to this.
Scratch the surface, dude.
No.
They've only touched things that we already know.
There's been six characters introduced in this. They're on the third movie and they got three of those bitches.
They just got to Shadow. They just got to Shadow. That's one that we know from playing one game, maybe.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, they haven't even touched fucking Blaze yet. Can you imagine when they get to Blaze? Because they might.
Sonic 6, maybe.
Sonic 6. And they're introducing the Chaos Emeralds. Like, what the hell even is all that? It's so crazy to me.
I don't know.
It's very funny. I feel like taking down a big dropship would have been more impactful if we didn't just see that same move like 2 issues ago, though. Because, like, Amy, you know, croquets him into it. It's like another dropship and he takes it out.
Yeah.
And they just like do that same thing again here. And that's like the last big action sequence. And I'm like, they should have taken down another big thing that wasn't like a dropship.
Yeah.
Maybe like a big, like a really big robot.
I think there's like value for reading these like monthly.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because then like it's like a pretty like self-contained story. You know, mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need all these together.
Yeah.
And so I think that could work for the reading age, you know, because yeah, you don't probably have to like, as like a kid trying to remember what happened last issue.
Yeah, true. True.
But, and then big reveal, we find out who's in the chair. And it's a huge twist, Nathan.
Is it Dr. Eggman?
It's Eggman.
I actually don't think it is. I think he's somewhere else.
Oh, it says elsewhere. So yeah. You are correct.
Yeah.
And then it's Eggman looking at something.
He's like stalking somebody. But like,
so it could be someone else in the chair.
Yeah.
Maybe him and Robotnik have to fight the chairperson.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we have to join forces.
Because he's a big dude.
Because like, those are my robots.
We don't see whoever's in the chair. And I feel like you'd see his gut.
Yeah.
That's if he's sitting in the chair.
Or like his, or at least his mustache.
Yeah.
Know, he's got a big mustache. So right now he's just like stalking some family through like the blinds of a window.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
So. A lot of action, not really a whole lot of answers, but pretty fun overall, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. So just variants, right?
Yeah, just variants, but there's some fucking insane ones.
These are sweet.
Yeah, with how cool the art is, like to make the covers like artistically and aesthetically like even cooler is, I think, a big accomplishment. But there's these covers by Natalie Fordrain.
Oh, yeah.
That are unbelievable. They look like such fun concept art for like a game. And some of them look exactly like what would be the cover art for a Sonic game as well, which I appreciate. There's like heavy like outlines like sort of around them.
Mm-hmm.
Very typical sort of Sonic proportions. Some of them look like 3D rendered, which is fun. But I think just all the Natalie Fordrain ones are super impressive.
Yeah, practically like no hard lines.
Yeah.
When especially, it comes to outlining.
Especially this one with like knuckles on it, I think is really good.
Yeah.
So fun. But that's pretty much it. Just variants. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
You know what I rate this, Nathan.
No, I don't.
It's got to be the the Sonic the Hedgehog ice cream. But the eyes are perfectly in place.
The eyes are perfect.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Is there any blue ice cream?
We do this a lot. There's like a Superman one.
Nah, that's not a Superman one. It's like red, yellow, and blue.
The Superman one?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like bubblegum ice cream. Mm. Or like cotton candy?
Maybe like a cotton candy one.
Or... yeah, the cotton candy.
Yeah, I'll do that. You know, just some sort of blue ice cream. It's probably like a Sonic themed ice cream at like a like Dave and Buster's, not Dave and Buster's,
Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins,
probably.
But yeah, I mean, just I wouldn't say like story wise, there's not necessarily anything super compelling about it, but it's really fun to read through.
I don't think you need
that much
grade of a plot line for these.
Yeah, I'm not expecting like a Watchmen plot. Yeah. By any means, but I think this knows what it is, and it knows like how to be cool visually and like a fun ride kind of all the way through it, which I was actually pretty impressed.
It does its job.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And it like introduces you to like the most random parts of Sonic, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, well, what's Blaze about? You know? So I think it's really, really cool. So I'd give it a love it of that.
Okay. There's yeah, maybe if there's like a limited edition Sonic ice cream somewhere,
mm-hmm.
get that. That.
Like this hits the spot when you're kind of craving something different, you know.
At like AMC, they have like limited edition like icy flavors. It's like green.
Oh, or this whatever. Is definitely an icy.
An icy? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because when you get an icy, like I don't think most people are getting icy every time, you know, they go to the movies.
You can get it at Harkins in your loyalty cup.
You can?
Yeah, it's only like a dollar more. Wow. or something.
But like when you have a good icy, it hits. So whatever that blue one was, the blue raspberry.
Blue Raz, okay.
Yeah.
But at AMC they have like the green icy as like a limited edition thing. They had it for like Beetlejuice, right?
Oh yeah.
But then they have another one for like Wild Robot that's also green. And then they use
the same flavor?
They use it again for something else.
Something else recently?
Yeah, some movie that came out recently. Maybe Venom or something.
Red One.
I don't know, but it's funny that they keep saying like, oh, limited edition, but they just keep using the same one for different movies.
Limited edition green.
Yeah. It's just like green apple flavor or whatever, or sour apple.
I like that. Funny. That's good marketing.
It can't be that hard to just have like a different icy flavor.
Yeah, probably not. Just whatever syrup.
They never have white cherry anywhere. Just throw that in there.
Oh,
which is like
good flavor.
Top tier icy in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they just have normal cherry.
Who made the cherries white? I guess I already have a red flavor. So like, I don't know, white, but it's still cherry.
Yeah. Just call it mystery flavor or something. They don't have to put white in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, let's get into the poll list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box? Did you go today?
I'm boxless, Daniel.
Boxless? Shopless?
I'm shopless, boxless.
Comicless.
Poless, cryptoless. Yeah, I still need to figure out doing an online one. I'll probably do it with Drew at Ashav.
Yeah.
Which is your shop.
I'm going to go cool on like Saturday if you want me to pick up stuff.
Okay, what are you picking up?
I'm going to get Absolute Superman number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get JSA number 2.
Yep.
Going to get All New Venom number 1.
He's all new?
Again? He's all new, all different.
Who's on Venom?
Al Ewing.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's someone cool. else. And the DC Holiday Special comes out.
Batman Smells Robin Laid an Egg. Is that what it's called?
Laid an Egg or something? Yeah.
Yeah. That one seems pretty good. I like a good Christmas special.
It has that Riley Rossmo cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
Marv
mm-hmm.
Wolfman does like one of the stories.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. you don't see him writing much anymore, but the fact that he's doing like a Christmas special one is fun.
That's what those like holiday anthologies should be for. People that are like retired.
And he's like, yeah, I'll do a dead man Christmas.
Just want to dabble and get back in the game for like a week.
Yeah. That's cool.
Did you read anything?
Yeah, I read JSA number 1.
It's pretty cool.
It's actually pretty good.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I've like read a couple JSA things. I'm like, this is fun. You know, but this one I was like, there's some good drama here.
Yeah.
You know? I really know what's going on. I
love the art, dude.
The art's so good.
All like the hard lines that they have for everything, like the hard outlines, I think look awesome.
I like immediately fell in love with Obsidian.
Oh yeah, I'm like, this guy rules, I forgot.
I'm like, holy shit, what is this scary like shadow figure thing? And he turns into Obsidian, and Obsidian is a cool design, and I'm like, this is awesome.
It just reminds me of Blue Beetle with a cape.
I think Jeff Lemire understands superhero drama so well.
Yeah,
because like I mean, like seeing some of the Obsidian stuff is cool.
I really like Jesse Quick in this too.
Jesse Quick's cool. Like normally she's just kind of there in the background, I feel like, but she feels very prominent and forward, like yeah. Very forward in this, which is cool. I like that there's the dynamic between Jade and Obsidian, who are like relative brother and sister yeah. Kind of. It's all very fun. And then you still see like the typical JSA roster.
Yeah, I feel like the
in it as well, except for
the JSA book that we read. It was a good prep for this one.
Yeah,
as far as just like knowing the characters and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And Wildcat has like a legacy, like, or like a next generation Wildcat named yeah. Yolanda.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah,
sure. I'm like, that's a good name, sure.
She's like yelling and has like the whiskers on.
But yeah, it was very fun, so I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I haven't seen that artist in anything unless he was in that random. I feel like I've seen that art style specifically in some other random like Justice League book, but
yeah, it looks familiar, but I'm not sure where yeah. I've seen it either.
So I was pretty impressed by that one. And then I started reading The Next Plastic Man, but I didn't finish it yet. I got stopped, but that's pretty much all I read this week.
I read Absolute Wonder Woman number one.
Nice.
Good stuff. I think it's cool. Art's awesome.
Yeah.
There's one part where somebody threw something and the sound effect was yeet.
Was it really?
I like, it's funny. Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
It's like a very small detail. I just wrote that down when I saw it.
Very heavy like intro sort of origin, I think, on this like initially, but
right,
the design of it is like so cool. And I think just big swords are cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the skeleton Pegasus that she rides around.
That has normal wings, not skeleton wings.
But I didn't think about that either. That's a good point.
But no, it's cool.
Can you imagine if I was a skeleton and I just had my regular arms?
Yeah.
Very not, upsetting.
I think that was a good choice, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
I enjoyed it when I read it.
And then I read Absolute Superman, number one.
How was that?
It's a banger.
Is it really?
It's a banger.
Oh,
it's
nice.
So sick.
Jason Aaron back in his prime.
Jason Aaron. The artist on this one, I forget his name, but it's probably the best of the Trinity.
Really?
And I think this wait, number one.
Best art of the Trinity?
Of the Trinity, yeah.
Over Nick Dragota?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think this might be the best number one of the Trinity.
Whoa.
I don't mean to, I don't want to like.
That's skew, huge
praise. I don't want to skew your expectations.
That is a huge glaze from Daniel.
I'm so on board with this one.
Holy shit.
I think it's awesome.
What a ginormous glaze.
Absolutely. Call me Krispy Kreme, dude. Because it's.
Because you're glazing.
I think it's awesome.
That's cool. All right. Yeah. I definitely need to hunt down Superman number one then.
For sure.
Was it mainly the art that was getting you there, or was it like, was a good story?
Story's well? Good. They work together just really well. I don't know if like the storytelling would work as well without the art being so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it felt long. I guess it is like 30 pages or whatever. I think Batman was 40 or something.
Yeah, Batman was pretty big, I remember.
But yeah, it just works so well.
Cool.
Like the first issue felt like it was a kind of like a movie, like in itself, you know, it
didn't, sweet.
I got, obviously there's more, but it just felt like so contained, not just like the first chapter kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like an exposition dump kind of thing.
Right.
I just really like what he's doing and it's awesome.
Nice. And that guy, Jason Aaron, is like, when he's like really writing, he fucking hits so hard.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's so much of his Thor run where I'm like, this is just good comics right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome. That's cool. Did you read anything else?
I started Bird King Volume 2.
Nice.
I'm like three chapters into that, so about like a third of the way or whatever.
Okay.
And good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Killer book.
It is. It was a little hard jumping back into it because there's like names of towns and stuff.
They have a map.
Yeah, they have a map. So, but there are like creatures in this that he designs, and I'm like, this is just an Elden Ring boss.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So, because I was, when I read it, I was like in the middle of Elden Ring, and I was reading that, and I'm like, this is just Elden Ring. And I'm like, Elden Ring, but Crom would be fucking wild.
I saw Bird King on Hoopla, and it had like a rated E rating on it. And then and then I went to read it, and then I saw someone get their throat slit. I'm like, no way, this is rated E. And there's like blood too, and it's just like
Bird King, and then like Sonic. They're like both rated the same.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. This is for kids.
Yeah,
I just thought it was funny. But that's cool. Yeah, art's great on that.
I can't wait for volume three.
Yeah, I'm glad that he seems like he has like a plan for how long this could go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so well thought out. It almost feels like you're reading a book that has been going on for a long time. You're just catching up.
Yeah.
Because it just all feels like so established. And I guess like it's all just set in stone enough.
Yeah. They've planned like you know, they have like some sort of a Bible of like how the story is supposed to be going.
If this is any shorter than 6 volumes, I'd be surprised.
I'd be so disappointed.
Like there's so much more. You just talked about like so much shit. Like,
yeah.
You've gone to this little town.
Such a criminally underrated book. Just in general.
Yeah.
But like, I just remember being so surprised by the first trade. And I hate like fantasy stuff most of the time, but this one just got so much aura.
I think I was like looking for the second volume. I don't think Drew ordered it. Or maybe he ordered it when I asked for it, but it was like the day it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I called like Gotham City Comics.
Yeah.
Or Gotham Comics or whatever it is. And I was like, hey, do you have Bird King Volume 2? He's like, what is that?
I don't know.
I'm like, you know, like the Dark Horse book. It came out like today. He's like, I've never even heard of that.
Really?
I'm like, you're the comic guy. And he's like, and I do all the ordering. I'm like, clearly not.
Not the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not that deep of a cut, really, because it still comes out of Dark Horse. You know?
But
it just seems like it's very niche.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it has like enough sales to warrant like, making more.
You know? It must be like super big where they're from in like London, right? Is that where Crom is?
Crom's in the UK. I think Daniel Freeman might be French.
Yeah. Because
there's French versions of all the books.
It feels like a French book, yeah.
Maybe. So yeah, good stuff.
It's cool as hell.
Did you watch anything?
Most hell yeah book. I watched the movie Wicked.
Oh yeah. How was that?
It was good, actually. Yeah. I found out this week that the entirety of the whole play that this is based off of is 2 hours and like 40 minutes. And
is that like a 3-hour movie?
Part one of this movie is like 5 minutes longer than the entirety of the play.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, we could have cut some of this down then. Because you do kind of feel the length. It's very interesting because like I do think it's good. Like production, like set design very cool, costuming very good, music was pretty fun in most parts, but for the plot I feel like there wasn't a whole lot. Like
yeah,
they're in a school for like most of the movie and they're not like in class for like any of the movie. Like there's a part where they go to class and then it immediately gets stopped because someone's being racist towards like animals, which is like the theme of the play or whatever. It's like racism.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's just like there's random things like that where it's like you're in a school, but I don't see anybody like learning how to do magic, which is the reason that you're in the school.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine seeing an X-Men movie and like no one is like in class?
Yeah.
Or like, I guess not even like an X-Men movie. If it was like a movie centered around someone going to Xavier school for, you know, gifted whatever, and they're just never in class.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Kind of seems that way sometimes, but
yeah. Ariana Grande is really good at playing someone that you should hate, you know, in the beginning, like someone that is just clearly so rich and privileged.
Yeah.
And so I hated her character, but I don't know if it was because I hated Ariana Grande or if I was supposed to hate like her character. And then
Who's to say? And then
you can't help but kind of like her at the end. And so I think they did a really good job of that because I think it was kind of being a hater at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of the whole thing, and then by the end I was like, okay, that was pretty fun.
Did Sophia want to see this?
Sophia wanted to see this because her sister was a big fan of the play, I guess.
Is she like a theater kid?
Yeah, I don't know if she's in theater, but she likes Hamilton a lot as well.
Right.
So this is kind of like the next Hamilton, it feels like. Or kind of that praise, I guess. But there's fun like dancing sequences in this. There's parts of it where it feels like there's a lot of like queer baiting almost.
Uh-huh.
Where there's like this hot guy like the hottest guy you've ever seen, and he's like dancing and stuff, and even like the guys in there are like really attracted to him, and he's like, it's weird because he's almost like seducing them, and there's like stuff like that, but there's not a single like gay relationship in here. Like there's people that are probably like gay characters,
yeah,
but there's not like any gay relationships, and so I'm like, this is very interesting.
Wicked seems like a pretty gay play.
Yeah, I think a lot of gays like it, which is cool. I mean, I think it's good. You know?
Musicals,
but there's not like a single gay relationship, so I thought that was interesting. Jeff Goldblum's in it. He's Jeff Goldblooming around.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Michelle Yeoh is in it. She plays a pretty good character.
Oh, okay.
Peter Dinklage plays a goat, like he normally does.
Naturally.
So yeah, there's some pretty good performances. I like it.
Sweet. Good. Are you gonna see part two next year?
If there's nothing else going on at the time, I'm not gonna like go out of my way to see it necessarily.
Yeah.
But God, this was like so long.
Yeah.
I would say. And
part twos are always longer.
Do you think that, I guess if
they gotta wrap it up,
it has to be longer. I missed like the first couple minutes of it too, because I was waiting in line for popcorn and it still felt long. So I didn't like miss anything, but yeah. Pretty fun.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Normally I'd be like super stressed out like in the line because I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, typically. I'd be like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but this one I was like, ah, whatever happens happens.
Yeah,
because I didn't realize it was 2 hours and 40 minutes when I was going in. I thought it was like gonna be a tight 90 or something.
It's like the Oppenheimer musicals.
Dude, yeah, it kind of is. But yeah, pretty solid. I can see why people like it
for sure.
What'd you watch?
I watched a movie called Black Christmas.
Okay,
you ever heard of that?
I don't think so. Sounds like a Christmas horror.
It's correct.
Movie. Nice.
It sounds like a movie that like Damon Wayans would be in. It's like making fun of. It's like a spoof of like Christmas movies. Yeah, or
it's
something.
Like a Madea movie.
Yeah, basically. But no, it's a horror movie. I think it might be one of the oldest movies I've ever seen. It's from 1974.
Whoa.
This movie's as old as Mom.
It's older than Star Wars.
Older than Star Wars, yeah.
Bam.
It's like about like a sorority house, and there's all these girls in this sorority, and then they're slowly being like killed off, and there's this dude that's like keeps calling the house and has these like insane phone calls where he's like voicing like multiple people. Clearly insane, and
like convincingly, or it's like it's clear that he's a guy just doing different
voices.
I thought
there was like a woman voice, like there's like a cast just on the other end of this call. And it holds up so well.
Cool.
Considering it's like a 50-year-old movie.
I like shit that holds up.
Yeah, like the calls are like genuinely freaky. Because I was like, I'd fucking hate to get this call. Like, hang up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, that was weird.
Yeah. And I think you should watch it. I think it's really good. The last like 30 minutes of this was like kind of, it was like the scariest imagery that I've ever seen in something that doesn't have like any special effects, like no practical effects. It was just like, you see like the killer and it's just like freaky. He's just a freaky person.
Cool.
And it's strange because it's just a guy, you know?
That's, yeah.
And so I was just very surprised by like how well that worked still.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
And it is based around like Christmas
that's,
time.
That's just how it was. You know, you had to be freaky by like just doing weird, freaky shit.
Yeah,
then, you know,
definitely. And then as like a chaser movie, we watched Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, good movie.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen like a lot of the Muppet Christmas, like holiday stuff.
Really? Okay. So I watched this just from hearing about it a lot from people. And it's very highly rated on Letterboxd and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think a little overrated.
Yeah, probably. A lot of them are. But people just love Muppets.
Yeah, the Muppet thing was cool. And some of the Muppets are like fucking terrifying. So like it's like basically just like a Christmas Carol with like Ebenezer Scrooge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like the ghost of like Christmas Past who is terrifying. It's like not a Muppet or like a human. Here, let me show you real quick.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen this one, but it's been a while. Like I think when they were first on like Disney Plus, last time I watched like a couple of them, but I think they were background shows.
This is the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah, that's freaky as hell.
Terrifying. And it's got this little girl voice. And
the
it's
eyes
like,
are too big and too far apart.
It's like reverby and not a fan. It was fucking scary.
So you needed another chaser movie after the Muppet?
Basically. The Ghost of Christmas Present was just like a Santa looking dude, which is fine. He was pretty jolly.
Mm.
But the Ghost of Christmas Future was also terrifying.
Didn't realize there's so many
ghosts.
And
that was like an actual like puppet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I thought it was a kid's movie.
I do remember this one.
Yeah, it's like just like a Dementor looking thing, and it doesn't talk.
I'm like, how's Kermit supposed to beat that thing?
It just points with his like scary ass fingers.
Yeah.
But Michael Caine is Ebenezer Scrooge. That was kind of cool. Oh, seeing like a younger Michael Caine. His eyebrows are like dark.
I'm like, who's this?
Yeah. I'm like, the de-aging on this is incredible.
He's always been old.
It's a movie like older than me, but... Yeah, pretty good. I won't like rewatch or anything, but mm-hmm. I did have like pretty high expectations going in.
Yeah. A lot of them are pretty overrated, I would say.
Yeah.
Even like the more recent movies, like that one with Jason Segel. I think it's good.
But, I think that's a good movie.
It is good, but I think overrated.
So Kermit is like married to
Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy. And they have like kids. They have like a little frog boy and like two little piggy girls.
Okay.
And like Sarah like started analyzing that. Like, how does a pig and a frog like procreate?
How do they
like
make a frog?
I'm like, one's like a mammal and one's like a amphibian. Like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the fact that it wasn't like some mutant that some was like half frog, half pig.
Like Donkey and the Dragon. Like, yeah. They make weird dragon donkey babies.
Exactly.
Now, I guess some, you know, the gene pool, or like the allele, it's just like you either get frog or fucking pig.
Yeah.
Like one of those genes is recessive, probably.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They just got a little lucky.
Yeah.
And so that was funny. But yeah, pretty good.
I can't believe Kermit porked Miss Piggy. 3 times.
I know.
Damn.
Anyway. What are we gonna read next week? So, what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
Is it Christmas week?
It is Christmas week.
Christmas week.
Christmas is here already.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Christmas is among us.
So, what are we reading? Christmas book?
Yes. And Serena picked The Deviant.
The Deviant from when she was last on.
Yeah, she picked the Christmas book and she was on for the horror book.
Yeah, the Junji Ito one.
Yeah.
What was that one called?
Shiver.
Shiver. Cool. Yeah.
Good book.
Another scary thing.
Scary Serena. Christmas book. We like
the
it.
Deviant. I'm excited for that. I've been wanting to read that since it came out. And I think I bought the first issue and I never read it. So.
Yeah. I read the number one and it is promising.
Yeah.
And I think the last issue comes out like on Christmas Day.
That's which is crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. So if you want,
so it's going to be two trades long in general?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to go into the shop.
Yeah. And the second trade doesn't come out until like March or something.
Right. But I'm saying I was surprised that there was one trade out already, if you know. But anyway.
Yeah. So sounds good.
That should be good. Thanks. Are we going to do a second Christmas book this week or this year as well? Or just that one?
No, just that one.
Okay, cool.
But thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Send us an email. Tell us what you know about Sonic.
Yeah. Is all this just retreading old ground, or is this new stuff?
Is all of Sonic a fucking banger? Yeah. Like this? Because
have we been missing out?
I think we might have been missing out.
What's the best Sonic game that they have on Switch? Let us know.
Yeah.
I'd check it out.
Yeah, it's just fun stuff.
TradeBearsPod@gmail.com.
Dude, what if there's a Mario Sonic Olympic Games comic?
Games comic? Like, I don't think so.
No, like Mario Sonic Olympic Games. You know, they have like...
Don't they have like an Olympic...
They have an Olympic game? One where it's like Mario and Sonic.
Ah, but they get real.
But the
nationalist.
Comic. Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Mario's defending Italy or Brooklyn or wherever he's from.
One of those two.
And then Sonic's just from his fairyland or whatever. Yeah,
wherever this is. But I think it's a good idea. I think there's legs.
It seems like a lot of rights would need to be obtained for that to happen.
Yeah.
Are there Mario comics?
Surely.
Sure.
Probably, right? Let me see.
Anyway, link tree is in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe, and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Peace.
All right. Goodbye.